Hey, welcome back, everybody. This is Tom McNew on the Armor of God Catholic Radio. Appreciate you joining us here on What Would Father Say, starring the one and only Father John Gesualdo. Father, thanks for coming back to your show again.
It's a pleasure, man. I always enjoy these sort of things. I enjoy hanging out with you, man.
Well,
So yeah.
we appreciate your candor and your honesty and your perspective on what the church teaches us as we are in the middle of our series on what we're calling nine contentious topics. And it's sure to ruffle feathers as we've hit a lot of topics: contraception, abortion, cohabitation, divorce and remarriage, the homosexual movement, and we got a few more to go. And today we are going to hit on a topic that is at the tip of the spear of the shift in our culture, and that's the transgender movement. And we want to
Yes,
focus
God
on,
help us. Yeah.
yeah, on what we as good and faithful Catholics, how we should be interacting and reacting and
Yeah. Well,
in
God.
our treatment of the people who suffer through gender dysphoria. So, Father,
Yeah, gender identity. Yeah. So
maybe
first thing I
maybe
would say,
yeah, let's start with a little definition, maybe a framing.
Yeah, I'm not even sure transgender is mentioned in the catechism, but I will tell your listeners a great resource for this is Jason Everett's book, who came out like a year or so ago,
Yeah.
called M Male, Female, Other? Question mark. Fantastic resource. He's done his research and he's well documented, because what Catholics need just on all of these things, all of these issues, cohabitation, abortion, contraception, homosexuality. We have to use words, and we can't let the culture define our language, and the culture has hijacked our language, especially when it comes to transgenderism. They'll think, trans people exist. I mean, all of that is loaded statements. So you start with the same place we start with, even especially like abortion. A clump of cells, fetal material. No, that's a person. It's a person. Those are people. And so when it comes to the transgender issue, remember that don't let them hijack it. There are two kinds of people, men and women. And the word gender is the same root word as anything like generation, genitals, generate. We are defined by how we were ordered to generate life. There are two kinds of people in the world: those who gestate and those who impregnate. That's it. Now, we would theologically, anthropologically, biblically think there's absolutely a difference between men and women. We are called different things. We symbolize different things. We have our place in marriage and family and the church in different places. But biology differentiates us into two genders, and you can't change your gender. Now, what usually happens at this point is someone will bring up the gray case, someone with Klinefelter's disease, someone who has genitalia that's not clear, or what we used to call hermaphrodites.
Hermaphrodites, yeah,
And for
yeah.
the people to absolutely keep in mind, that's not what transgenderism is. There are people who have some born and something's wrong, some kind of abnormality. But there's all kinds of ways of discovering whether someone is a male or female. Oh, that's what we have doctors for. Sometimes they need help. Sometimes it's not clear, but something has gone wrong. There is no third gender. There's men and women, males and females. Transgenderism says that you can actually be born in the wrong body, which is nonsense. Nobody's born in wrong bodies, and no one is born into a body. We have bodies. It goes all the way back to the theology of the body. John Paul II said that actually we don't have bodies. We are bodies. And that's so important. We do not have bodies. We are bodies. We are composite spirit and matter. We're human beings. We're not spiritual beings. We're not material beings. We are human beings. And our soul is constitutive to our bodies. That means when you and I die, Tom, and that will happen, my brother, when we die, something very unnatural happens. Our souls will be ripped from our bodies. That's not supposed to happen. And that's what we have a name for that when your soul is ripped from your body. It's called death. That's why we don't like ghosts and we don't like dead bodies.
No.
People are uneasy around ghosts and dead bodies. But actually, your soul has a gender, is masculine or feminine, is male or female. But transgenderism says, well, what defines you is how you feel on the inside, what you think you might be. There is so much wrong with this. And in the past, I always had a name for it, gender dysphoria. My innermost experience does not match my body. So for the past 2,000, 3,000 years, what society would do, let's say I thought I was a werewolf. In my mind, I'm a werewolf. Well, the rest of the world would try to minister to my mind. Listen, there's something wrong. You're not connected to reality. If you think you're, if I think I'm a black lesbian, there's something wrong with me. Something has gone. So we minister to people's psyche because something's gone wrong there. Because if a man says, I feel like a woman, then we immediately know something is disordered because, first of all, a man, you don't know what a man woman feels like. I don't know what a Norwegian woman feels like. I'm not those things. So if a woman, man says, I feel like a woman, then no, you don't know what a woman feels like. I think it's a sexual appropriation when a woman says, well, I feel like a man. I say, you don't know what we feel like. How do you know what we feel like? So immediately, something's wrong. Now there is autogynephilia where a man will get aroused by dressing up in women's clothes. But oftentimes it's just homosexuality. Men who are attracted to other men want to make themselves pretty. And will start changing their bodies, then it's so frustrating to them because men don't want them. I think it's hit women more, especially adolescent girls, and especially strikes people who have autism. If they feel funny and someone tells them, well, then maybe you're transgender, maybe you're the other gender, they start to embrace that. Well, in the world we have today, especially in the east and left, white, right and left coasts, if you self-identify as trans, suddenly you're a protected class. Suddenly you're empowered. Suddenly you're a cool kid. Suddenly you can rebel against your parents. I'm trans. What does that mean? Why I self-identify? It's absolutely dangerous. It says there's no such thing as reality. And it is Gnostic. Because what does Gnostic say? Gnosticism is we are ghosts in the machine. What I really am is what I'm on the inside. Spirit good, body bad. It's a return to Gnosticism. But before, where men and women would get dressed up as the opposite sex, maybe even present themselves as the opposite sex, now we're having medicine, the medical community giving them testosterone and what do women have? And
Estrogen.
estrogen. You can go get the clinics will pass it off for you. Some of our people who do pro-life work, they'll go out in front of the Planned Parenthood. Where before, now they're ill-equipped. Where before they say, why are you here to get an abortion? Let's minister to you. They have young women who are showing up at Planned Parenthood to get testosterone, and they get it for free,
Free.
or they get it sent to them. How can that be possible? They start giving, especially prepubescent boys and girls, puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. If a kid can't get a tattoo when he's 12, how are they giving him puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones? And then doing invasive surgery, they start chopping off parts of
Oh
their
yeah.
bodies. And we
And
cannot let them go ahead, Tom.
I was going to say, I think that's the part of this whole issue that baffles me the most, that people who profess the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm are willing to just cut off perfectly good functional body parts off of children who could not buy a pack of cigarettes at the
No.
QT down the street.
No, I can't.
But these doctors are more than willing
And
to put these children under the knife, and just that to
sometimes
me is
states
the
are
most
allowing.
baffling thing. Yeah.
No one wants to challenge that. No one wants to challenge that.
That's yeah.
And permanently scar them, permanently render them unable to have children. And here's the awful part too. Remember, the sexual revolution was something that was imposed on us from the top. Somebody's getting money from this.
Yeah,
Somebody's getting money. Because
absolutely.
once you, like that kid, Jazz, that kid, that young boy whose mother transitioned him to be a girl, well, they sliced him up. And they put things in between his crotch to keep his cavity open. That means he will be on medication for the rest of his life. That means somebody's making money. Somebody, and they will be on medication for the rest of that. We see those Ozempic commercials all the time. Oh my gosh. But it's the people at the top, people in the APA, American Psychological Association. What's wrong with y'all? What is wrong with you? You know better. But it's so politically charged.
That's
And it all started in 1972 when they changed homosexuality, brought it, they took it off the DSS, whatever that's called. And they didn't do it because of some experiment. They just voted it off. Too many people had same sex attractions. So, well, I don't like them telling me I have a mental dysfunction. Yeah, you do. You have a disordered inclination, and we're here to
Yeah.
help.
And
But if some little
I was gonna say at the risk of angering a whole lot of my friends from the state of Texas, LBJ's great society wasn't so great. And that's really kind of where a lot of this cultural shifts began,
Yeah.
with the forcing people to accept the minority as the norm. And this, I think, is another shining example of that
Yeah.
ideology.
And but they just people who push this ideology hate families. Everything is blamed on straight white men. They're the enemy. But without straight white men, I mean, this church I'm in now. You know who built this? You know how many women built this church? How about none? You know how many when our pipes bust and the AC goes out, you know how many women have showed up to fix it? Never, not
Zero.
once. We have to be very careful when they become the enemy. And it's so the leftists, whenever a boy says, "I think I'm a girl," they celebrate that. They celebrate that, and they're more than willing to turn him into a girl. And then he's maimed for life, and they cannot be sued. They cannot be called. There's no response or no way to fight back. Because really, it was I think it was Obama. When they had Obamacare, he made it demanded that girls, boys could use girls' restrooms. And it's always girls who have to pay the price. Girls in sports, girls in bathrooms. If a girl walked into one of my restrooms, I'd be like, "I think you're in the wrong spot, honey." And if I walked into a girl's restroom, I should be arrested. But it's again the blurring of the genders. They want to make it so men and women are not just equal; they have to be the same. They have to be the same. And we have to call things like gender affirming care, where they slice you up, reproductive care, which is just killing children. Safe sex was giving women hormones so they don't ovulate and have and get pregnant. Because what people want again is sex without consequences. What people want again is not to be told what they can and can't do in their bedrooms. And to achieve that goal, they have to render gender fluid. Just whatever. Hey, you like your favorite food is chicken and beef or fish and eggs. We're all just different. Doesn't really matter. They know that's wrong, but it all goes back to the acceptance of contraception. You can even go back as far as Henry VIII and his wives when they start to redefine marriage and divorce.
And this idea that sex is a social construct.
Yeah, gender is a social construct. Wow. Race is probably a social construct. Yeah, so
Culture
I
is
tell
a social construct.
I always tell people I'm 5%. I'm 5% African, and I'm 1% Congolese. So that makes me like 6% African. Can
Yeah.
I self-identify as black? No. What is the number? And so but I'm 0% woman.
Yeah.
Zero. I don't have a cell in my body that's a woman, but I can identify as a woman. Suddenly go into a bathroom, play on women's sports. Man, if I was 12 years old and my sister was playing softball, I would have loved to have gotten on their team. I'd have knocked that ball out of there every time because I was an average baseball player. I was in the karate team at Texas State. I was not very good at all. Man, if I could have fought in the women's division, I
Yeah.
think that I would at least placed. I think
Well, we
but
see
they've
this.
sold their souls to
Yeah.
the culture, sold their souls. Go ahead, Tom.
No, I was gonna say, I think we see this. We have seen this over the course, especially the last, I don't know, 12, 15 years, where this has just kind of been forced down our throats, more and more and more. I do think, though, that there's a portion of our world, our society, that is like, okay, enough's enough, and they're starting to push back on some of this. So,
Maybe.
for those of us sitting in the pew, who know someone who has gender dysphoria, or has a family member or something like that who is suffering for this through this gender dysphoria, what guidance would you give to
Yeah,
us
yeah.
for dealing with that those
Well, I
people?
would say you befriend them, you communicate them, you accompany them. And you tell them up front. I'm not going to mention any names here, but there was a person who was visiting me for a while. I was homeless. And I talked to him on the phone, and he sounded like a guy. But he told me, he goes, "Well, Father, I'm transgender." And then I saw him, and sure enough, he looked like a woman. He had been taking estrogen for years, but he still had the low voice, and you could tell in his face. So I called. He went by, I think he went by like Kelly. I'm just making that up, but his last name was something like Clark, but that wasn't really his name. His last name was like Clark. It's like a masculine name. So that's what I called him. I said, "I'm gonna call you by your last name. I'm not calling. That's a lie. My religion says I'm not supposed to lie, and to call you a her, it means I'm lying. And
That's a lie.
I'm tired of now. When you minister, not just you minister to people with this affliction, it's much different than getting into a debate with someone who enables that LGBTQ, the T gender identity. It's like with people who have same sex attraction, homosexuals. We minister to them. You find out they've been traumatized. This man had been used by men. He was like a prostitute. He's homeless. So what do you do? Give him a place to, give him something to eat. Maybe pay for him a place to stay. He like slept in the back pew of my church for a while because it was cold outside. I said, "You can stay here." I remember someone called me at the rectory and said, "Hey, Father John, there's a woman here who wants to see you. What's the name?" And he told me, I said, "Well, that's not a woman, but I'll be there in a second. I'll be there in a second. Hold on." And but you establish that up front and you're kind to them. You listen to them, but you also have to encourage that side of them. It's like men who are, in lack of a better term, gay, have same sex attraction. You find out real quick that all we I was giving this talk last night. You know that only 0.2% of it's a 0.2% of women, point the amount of men who have predominantly same sex attractions, it's like I think it's up to like 4% or 6%, something like that. But the amount of men who have exclusive same sex attractions is 0.2. I mean, that's so part of them, they'll even tell you, "So what percentage of you are gay?" And they'll go, "Well, I guess I'm 50-50. Oh, so you're bisexual. Oh, maybe it's more like I remember talking to a young lady who struggled with same sex attraction. She said she was fully 70% attracted to women, but 30% attracted to men. So what do? You think of it like a two lions. There's two lions in your life that are fighting. And you have two lions that are fighting, and who's going to win? Well, it's the one you feed. It's the one you feed. What side are we encouraging? This is what happens to men with gender dysphoria and gay men. They're comfortable around women. And so the women, the girls, the little, girly girl, pinky, pinky girls, they reinforce the feminine side of them. And then God bless them, and they get it both sides. And then the boys, if they try to get, they try to make friends with a boy, sometimes the boy will call them the bad name, the F word. And then it just again reinforces, pushes them back into these female circles. Instead of the girls, treat him like a man, talk to him like a boy. And guys, bring him in. Let him rough house with you. Throw a football. We did a courage ministry thing with a couple of guys, and all we did was take him outside and throw a football. I had to teach him how to throw a football. Didn't know how to throw a football or a baseball. And for me, it was wonderful, quite honestly, because I don't have any children. I never had a son, but I do know how to throw a football and a baseball. And just to have them say, "No, this is how you do this. This is how you do this," and see that male, aggressive, competitive side come out of them, because they just don't feel safe. And so, women, for a long time, you went downtown Austin, you saw all these transvestites, and that's men dressing like women. But it's really hit women hard. It's, women who have been hurt, have been wounded, they gain weight, they crop their hair, they wear frumpy clothes, they shave their head, they don't wear makeup, and they just look tough, a butch. Where does that come from? It's from fear. It's from fear, and they don't fear men. Having a man attracted to them is causes them anxiety, so they look purposely unattractive. And after a while, they look for a night, and they look for the they'll attract to some kind of feminine woman who's not actually gay. But as a society, it's like, what do we recognize? I always had trouble with math. I mean, I always struggled with math and dyslexia. I never self-identified it as, math deficient or reading deficient. I always had tutors and special teachers. They would guide me, affirm me, tutor me, because they recognize that something had gone wrong. If I'm 18 years old and I read at a third grade level, something has gone wrong. If I'm a 25-year-old man and I feel like a 12-year-old girl, something has gone wrong. Something psychologically, emotionally, maybe even spiritually, physically has gone wrong. We do not affirm disorder and sickness, mental illness. But I mean, even with the boys and girls bathroom, why would any woman want a mentally ill man in their bathroom? That's ridiculous. That's
And
ridiculous.
it seems like so much of this turns into rules for thee,
But
but
not
not
for
for
me.
me, you know, where and not to turn this political, but the
Politics and
politicians and
business.
the people who are in the seat of power, regardless of where, are the ones that say, you must. I'm not going to, but you must. And you know, I
Yeah,
mean,
it's all our religion informs our politics.
yeah.
We don't put our
Should.
religion aside. Why do I believe it's wrong to kill babies? Because they're made in the image and likeness of God. That's my brother and my sister. And do unto others as you would have them do to you. That's why. And so with people who have gender dysphoria, you don't just, there's men out there who dress up like 8-year-old girls. I don't give them a doll and something to suck on. There's a man who left his wife and his children to go identify as a 6-year-old girl, gets up in dress and somebody, babies him, and oh, it's disgusting. But I tell you, it's the liberal elite, it's the Hollywood, it's academia, and let's just say it's the professional, because all these, the Center for Pediatric Studies, they're okay with giving kids puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones. How dare they? What's wrong with y'all? But they'll lose their license, and they're cowards. Cowards, the new dogma. And that's where men have to step in and say, "What the heck's wrong with you?" Did you see that before it just came out last week, where a man asked a doctor, "Can men get pregnant?"
Oh
Did you see that?
yeah, there was a whole
Senate hearing.
hearing in Congress at
Washington, D.C.
the Health Services Committee
Yeah.
It blew up. There was a for about 3 or 4 days.
Yeah, he's like 10. He asked her 11 times, can men make pregnant? Can men get just a yes or no? Well, I don't see
Refused
why
to
they
answer. Yeah.
refuse to answer, because she is so locked in to
Right.
an ideology, a religion,
Afraid.
a dogma. She knows what the answer is, and to state it, she would have to, oh my gosh, we have to change.
There's
You have
still
to, it's.
this fear of cancel culture, where she's going to she's afraid of losing that seat of power, that she perceives. I'm using air quotes, the perception.
And the culture she lives in, it's against their dogma. Yeah, and it's demonic. The LGBT, the T especially, is absolutely, it's the culmination of a contraceptive mentality. It's the culmination of it. If fertility is seen as a sickness, and sex can be sterile, and gender doesn't matter in marriage, then our bodies really don't matter.
That's
We're
right.
just electric meat. That's all we are. And
A meat popsicle.
yeah. So it's an attack on reality. It's an attack on children. It's a demonic.
It is. Father, we got about a minute left, so I want to
Yeah.
give you a chance here. Any final thoughts
No, I would.
on how we who address this? Yeah.
Yeah, so I just remember the first book of the Bible, God made the male and female. And we all know that. And there's such a thing as natural law. We all know this. And be brave. Be brave. And Jason Everett's book, Male, Female, Others, fantastic.
It is a
Equip
great book.
yourself. There's no excuse not to, because we know evil triumphs when good men and women do nothing. I think Catholics have just kind of kept it to themselves. We don't want to be seen as judgmental. The opposite of love is fear. They're afraid of standing alone. And it's anything that Jesus taught us, you got to be willing to stand alone and die on that hill. Because our children and eternity are in the balance.
Folks, if you've missed some or all of this week's episode of What Would Father Say in our discussion
Just
of
light stuff. Just light
gender
stuff, you know.
ideology. Yeah,
Just
exactly.
light
Stuff.
stuff, you know. And nothing heavy.
These are coffee house conversations.
Yeah.
You can pick it back up on Sunday afternoon. We'll rebroadcast today's episode. If you've missed any of the previous episodes, they're available on our website at armorofgodradio.com. Under the schedule tab, you can get all of the episodes of What Would Father Say? Father, would you leave us with a blessing,
Let's
please?
all glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the
It was
beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And the Lord
Amen.
be with you.
And
And may
with your
Almighty God
spirit.
bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks, we'll be
Amen.
back next week. We'll pick back up here with our 9 contentious topics with part 7. And we'll get into some in vitro fertilization,
Oh my
IVF.
goodness.
It'll be a good
Yeah.
one. Come back and
All
join
right.
us, folks, and remember to put on the armor of God.